As a homeowner, I can't help myself. I'm always thinking about fixing this and changing that. For the money, for the beauty, for the knowledge and the peace of mind. It's about time for the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young.
Welcome to the Love My Renovation Project with Mike Young, where we discuss all things regarding renovation projects, either the FHA 203K, the home style renovation mortgage, and the VA renovation loan products, to name a few. If you haven't already heard, some time ago, VA started a renovation program up to $35,000, but it requires a consultant. Yahoo! The latest word is that they have now unlimited, provided your property will appraise and up to their maximum loan amount. Anyway, if you want to be part of the show today, call in and ask your questions or talk about a topic you'd like to talk about with regards to renovation projects, dial 888-627-6008 toll free and ask your renovation question. While most 203Ks go off without a hitch, from time to time you'll find yourself with nobody to talk to on your side that understands the program. If you have a problem with your renovation project and no one's listening to you, feel free to call us on the radio. We'll be happy to talk to you in public. Or if you want a private talk, that's fine too. Just go to 203K911.com and send us an email on that site. We'll be happy to call you back or send you an email with our phone number where we are at that time. We're all over the country. We're in most states. I think we're in all states, but there may be one that we might be missing. So if you have a topic that you'd like us to discuss in more specific terms, feel free to call us. You can go to any of our websites, including 203konline.com. Scroll down to the message center and drop us a line. Now, we were talking about what you can expect from a consultant on a 203K consultation. Well, we can't speak to everyone, all 203K consultants, because some of them flat don't consult at all and call themselves consultants. We started off by telling you what we do. Every 203K loan officer is supposed to be handing you a bunch of paperwork to read and understand prior to the close of escrow. Most of them do not do that, yet it's in the guideline. They are supposed to do that. And we found out that most weren't, so we incorporated that. In 1994, we incorporated that into our consultation, not only to give you those papers as a homeowner so that you can read and understand prior to closing, because you can't read and understand prior to closing. What we do is we go over, that's part of our consultation, is to go over the most misunderstood portions of those contracts so that you are way ahead of the game when your project starts and is in construction progress, so that you don't get caught unaware. We were down to going through the consultant agreement, allowable fees agreement, whatever you might want to call it. It's a very important clause, is the agreement duration. Because the agreement duration, there's two agreements that actually float around with a consultant. Make it very clear that the consultant is your exclusive comrade, associate, person that knows the program when you start the initial consultation. Now, that has a time limit on it. It goes up until it closes escrow. Once the loan closes escrow, there is clearly a different agreement that it goes on. Because once it closes escrow, we no longer represent the borrower. We are not their advocate at any time. We work for the lender, but always in the best interest of the borrower and HUD. Okay. So it's important that you know the difference. So the consultant is yours exclusively. He represents you. His job is to help you fill out all the paperwork, get it to you, so that you can then close this escrow in a timely fashion. I apologize. I just realized that air conditioner was blowing in my ear when it went off. So I turned it off so it can't come back on. In any case, if you don't understand that concept and you get into the project and you're halfway through the construction and you start calling the consultant, say, hey, my contractor hasn't been here for 3 or 4 days in a row. What are you going to do about it? Well, the consultant isn't going to do anything about it. Realize the homeowner, the borrower, is the contractor's boss. At no point in the process, does the consultant become the manager in any way, shape, or form of that contractor. That would be a conflict of interest. So we can talk to the contractor for you prior to closing the escrow. Once the escrow closes, you're the boss. The borrower is the contractor's boss. So get in there, talk to the contractor. These things fall apart when the homeowner and the contractor stop talking. I got a call yesterday. Homeowner says, that contractor hasn't been out there. I said, I just got an email from him. He said he's on the site right now. Well, he's not on the site right now because I'm on the site right now and he isn't there. So I called the contractor up as a courtesy, not as a duty. And I said, didn't you tell me you're at the site? He said, yeah. I said, well, the borrower's been at the site for the last 2 hours. He hasn't seen you yet. Oh, well, I'm actually 2 blocks away. I said, well, that's not at the site. So get over there and get your problem worked out. Their problem was he wanted the homeowner to go down and cash a check, which is made out to him and the contractor. Well, that can't be. So he said, get a guaranteed signature guarantee from your bank. The bank says, we don't know what that is and don't do that. I suggested to the contractor, get the borrower to sign it back, go deposit it at your window, at your bank window where you make all your other deposits. See if that won't get it deposited. That's what you're trying to do. Anyway, with regards to our 203k911.com, it's a very misunderstood paragraph, the agreement duration. A lot of people think that the home or the contract, the beep, 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 that the consultant is somehow going to manage your project for you. That is not what's going to happen. But there is a lot of confusion there. We get that question regularly on a website. So just recognize the fact, read that clause. In the early games, we work for you. We can talk on your behalf to the lender, to the contractor, whatever. But once the loan closes, we no longer work for you. We work for the lender. And our job is as an inspector, looking at the items that are complete to see that they're done in a workmanlike manner, in a professional and workmanlike manner. So there is an indemnification clause next in the agreement that HUD wrote for consultants and homeowners, called the consultant agreement or allowable fees agreement, as some trainers have decided to change the name to. But HUD calls it the consultant agreement. We continue to use that name. We've always done so, and I will continue to do so. This will protect the consultant in most cases, if not all cases, from unscrupulous borrowers. And there are some. We've got one case right now going on on the East Coast where the borrower, I believe, had every intention of suing somebody before the thing was over, before the construction was over, because she refused to have a pest report when it was recommended. When it was pointed out that there's a lot of pest damage, we need to get that fixed. No, I don't want to fix that. I want to do these 5 items or these 10 items and be done with it. Don't tell me what to do. This is my project. It's a Fannie Mae Home style. I understand we can fix whatever we want to. Well, that's kind of true. If the appraiser had seen the damage, the appraiser would have called for a termite report. We saw the damage. The consultant called out for a pest report and clearance. And the contractor climbed under the house and said, oh, wow, there's a lot of dry rot under here. And the contractor called for it. Now she's talking about suing the contractor for not forcing her to do what she told him, no, I don't want to do. So, you know, now it becomes a question is, did you do your duty in explaining that to her? You know, if you told her about it and insisted, recommended that you get that termite report, I feel you did. The consultant's fee. The consultant's fee is typically published by each consultant on their website. It's also available at the HUD website. HUD web site, however, has recommended or an acceptable fee structure that's created in 1994 and is clearly outdated. For the last 3 years, we keep hearing stories that they're actually reviewing it and that some suggestions were made 3 years ago to increase the consultant's fees, and it continues to be the mystery. When I called HUD a couple years ago and I said, well, so I understand that you've actually made some recommendations and they're sitting on the commissioner's desk. Yes, that was the fact from a HUD consult or a HUD representative in Washington, D.C. I said, well, I did a little research and I found out there is no commissioner at the moment. That's true, too. As soon as we appoint a commissioner, then we can get into this stuff. Yeah, right. Okay. Anyway, so most consultants have actually created their own pricing structure going off of the HUD guideline as far as it goes. And then once it gets over $125,000, typically many consultants will start the process all over again. In other words, if it's up to $100,000, HUD has a fee structure. If it's up to $200,000, they're applying the initial fee structure again. So that the second $100,000 also follows the same structure. There's also a section in here for additional provisions. If there are any additional provisions, your consultant will have them written in there at the time of your consultation. So, going forth, about 10 to 15 years ago, HUD also asked that each consultant provide a special notice to the borrowers. Apparently, they were getting a lot of calls about various consultants not doing their job. Well, that special notice is just this. The local HUD office does not warrant, accept liability or responsibility for the competence of the consultant or the quality of the work product the consultant may perform for the borrowers. We've actually incorporated that special notice on our consultant agreement. So there's no doubt that they've been notified. So we're going to take a short break. We'll be back with you. If you have any calls or want to talk to us, please feel free to call us at 888-627-6008 and be part of the show. So hang in there with us. We'll be right back after this short break.
.com. If you're having issues with your renovation project, we may be able to assist you. It's nice to know you have a knowledgeable person on your side. We recently had a client that had a lender telling them that the problem wasn't theirs, but it was the correspondent lender's. Ultimately, they agreed it was their problem and remedied the issue quickly. Most issues have been handled without a fee. Visit 203K911.com now and let's fix your problems.
Set next week to run the tape, right? Hey, welcome back. This is Mike Young. Thanks for staying with us. Please call us at 888-627-6008 to be part of the show and ask your own renovation questions. It can be about lending, loan officer. We can always get a loan officer on the phone with us here if need be, and they can answer your lending questions. So we're going over a consultation. The Mike Young team uses the HUD required documentation that the lender is supposed to give the client prior to close and in time for them to read and understand prior to close of escrow. That doesn't always happen, so we've just included that in our consultation to hand those pages to the borrower and actually go over with them some of these items that are most commonly misunderstood. So we're going to the borrower's acceptance of conditions now. No work can start until you own the house. You'd be surprised at how many people want to get started tomorrow, and they haven't even closed escrow. Plan approval by HUD is for department use only. And the consultant is that HUD representative out there, and plan approval by that consultant is for department use. It means nothing else. Plans and specifications must be approved and building permits issued prior to construction. The fee inspector will certify or verify that these are on site on the consultant's identity of interest form later in the process. A final inspection by the local jurisdiction will be required prior to the release of the final draw. Okay, if permits are not required, then of course there won't be any final permit signed off requirement. All items which are not included in the original scope of works must be processed via change orders. Now, the original scope of work is that list, that SOR, scope of renovation, scope of work, paperwork that the consultant works out with the client that lists everything that's going to be fixed on the home, every detail. And new appliances, and you just say, put in standard quality appliances, that is not going to get you exactly what you want as a borrower. So be specific. If you're putting in a five-blade ceiling fan and you want a certain brand and a certain model, give us that information. We can make that happen. But if you fail to think about it later when the contractor brings in something of a lesser quality, provided he's bringing in something of a standard quality and not some economy product. This is not a chance for him to unload all of his crap that he's been accumulating over the years onto your project because nobody else wanted it. So if you run into a problem during the course of construction that wasn't anticipated prior to the construction, when we were making that scope of work up, then there are contingency funds that can be used to fix those things, provided they are of health and safety related or of necessity. Now, to give you an example of an of necessity, there are times when the building inspector will come out there for his first inspection and he'll see something that he didn't notice before. Maybe the handrail wasn't quite high enough, tall enough. And he says, you know what? You can't do any more inspections until that handrail is brought up another 4 inches in height. I'm not going to do any more sign-offs. So that work must be done. That's of necessity. We could do a change order to increase the height of the handrail. And what made it necessary is the inspector said he's not going to do any more inspections until that's done. So that becomes the next item to be done, even though it wasn't on the scope. Or maybe it should have been, but it wasn't. Contingency funds are only available for things that affect health, safety, or of necessity. All right. And the only way you can change it is to get a approval from your inspector, formerly a consultant, now he's an inspector, and the lender prior to doing the items. The reason for that is if your contractor should open a wall and there's a lot of dry rot in there or termite damage, and he just says, okay, I'm going to fix that. And you say, go ahead. And he fixes it, then hands you a bill for $3,000. You approved it. now pay the $3,000 because the loan doesn't have to pay it. You authorize it. You get to pay for it. So what we do is we make that contractor give us a bid. Years ago, I had a contractor call me and he said, Mike, we were pulling the stucco away from the outside of the house and we knew there was dry rot there and we called for a clearance. So I started pulling it away and we pulled it all the way down to the other end of the house and I've got a $5,000 price tag on that now. But what got me was he said $5,280. And I looked and it just happened to be the exact amount of the contingency reserve. What are the chances of that happening? Zero or next to none. So I asked him, I said, well, I tell you what, go ahead and work on other things. I'm going to resend the termite guy out there to have him take a look at this new work. Before I could get that sentence fully out, he said, how about $500? And I said, how about you stop lying to me and tell me what it is you're really trying to say? And he said, okay, we have, the homeowner wants a freestanding fireplace. And I said, what does that have to do with the stucco on the outside of the house? Nothing. The stucco's fine. We've already fixed that. No problems. I said, oh, okay. So the problem is that you're a liar. And that can be a problem. He said, well, we needed to get this done. And I was going to tell you that I needed the $5,000 to fix that so we could get his freestanding fireplace and install it for him. I said, why don't you just say we want to put a freestanding fireplace in? You know, some may regard that as a luxury item and probably is, but be honest, tell us what you really want. And if there's a way to get it in there, we'll do it. But it can't happen until 90% of the work is done. And it's clear that contingency is not going to be needed for real contingency work items. Now this one, the next paragraph gives us a problem. We had it today on another project. The lender must make all checks jointly payable to the borrower and the contractor. Now, there are some lenders that do a ACH bank deposit directly to the contractor. They won't do it any other way. The guideline says they'll make the checks jointly payable to the borrower and the contractor. So, effectively, they're violating the guideline. However, they can have a supplemental guideline, I guess. I'm sure they've covered it with HUD. Anyway, so the problem becomes, how do you cash a two-party check these days? Well, the homeowner gets the check. It's mailed to the house, typically, or their mailbox if they have a different location. He signs the back of it, hands the contractor. The contractor endorses the back just the way he would normally and deposits the check. The problem we're having with one right now is that the contractor has predetermined his bank won't accept that. He didn't ask his bank. He just said the bank won't accept that. And I said, well, why are you asking them? Why don't you just deposit it? Well, because I don't think they'll accept it. I said, yeah, you don't think they'll accept it. If you take it to them, they probably won't. But if you deposit it, they probably will. So let's go with the probably will. Endorse it. Deposit it like you would any other check with any other check you might have to deposit today. It's not that hard to get them cashed. There are some banks, like Bank of the West, has flat refused to take a two-party check. End of story. In that case, I recommend that the homeowner and the contractor go open a bank account together in both their names, deposit the checks in that bank account. The contractor's the only signer, so doesn't even need to be signed or endorsed on the back if it's made out to the same people that own the bank account. On the borrower's acceptance of conditions, the last item says draws, which is another word for payments, but draws for work completed will be verified by inspection. That's when the inspector's called out to do a inspection on the work that is completed to date. All right, so the inspector comes out. He used to be the consultant. He ceased being the consultant when the loan closed. He became the inspector. Inspector comes out, verifies the work that's done is done in a professional, workmanlike manner, and then authorizes payment to the lender. They cut the check and send it to the homeowner. The next form that the lenders are supposed to give the homeowners prior to close is called a 203K Borrower's Acknowledgement. Okay, the Borrower's Acknowledgement just has, it looks like about 10 or 12 items here that the borrower needs to understand. We don't usually highlight any of them. This is the most professional looking form, and frankly, it's the easiest form to read than all the HUD documentation we have for the 203K. But some of these things, they all start with "I understand." These are for the homeowner. One of them, though, says, "I understand that any unused contingency funds will be paid down on the mortgage at the end. I understand that the lender may retain 10% of the holdback, or 10% of the draw money as holdback, for a period not to exceed 35 days from the time period required by law or the time period required by law." Well, they do it. It's not a if they will or they may. They will take 10% of each draw. So if your contractor has done and requests a $20,000 draw, they're going to withhold $2,000 or 10% of that and give him $1,800 or $18,000 until the project is finished, at which time that holdback will all be released, provided there's no liens been placed on the property. All of these papers that we're talking about are considered architectural exhibits, not necessarily just blueprints. Architectural exhibits are all of the paperwork that your consultant and your lender put together to help you get this loan closed. One of these I understands is, "I am responsible to make the mortgage payments during the term of the loan." And that means during the construction too. I get a lot of people that ask me this: "Well, Mike, the contractor hasn't got the home ready for me in the 3 months, and now I got to start making mortgage payments on the loan and on the place that I'm living." I said, "Well, that's a problem. You should have supervised them better. You should have been on his case from day one. But now, yes, you do have to make payment on both your house and this mortgage." We don't tell you that as a homeowner. We try to tell you up front so you know it going in, along with the fact that you're the boss, you're the contractor's boss. So kindly keep that in mind and stay on him from day one. Set the expectation early in the game. Don't wait till the project is half finished and you're at the end of 6 months to start being a bully. If you're going to be a bully, you need to be a bully from day one. Another one: "I understand that if I change a contractor for any reason," homeowners quite often get this up their in their craw, that they want to fire the contractor, bring somebody else in here that'll finish this. Well, number one, it's 2 or 3 months later. Prices may have gone up. Can you find another contractor that's willing to take your project on and work with a fired contractor? And what's he going to charge? We have one right now. We've been waiting. Contractor walked off the job over a year ago. The new contractor submitted his paperwork. Our lender hasn't approved him yet. And it's been a month. So I called the draw specialist and said, when are you going to give us the go-ahead on this contract, the new contractor? Well, as soon as he gives us a bid. And I said, well, why didn't you say that? You needed a bid. Because you never told me you needed a bid. He's going to do it for the work, the money that's left in the current bid. Oh, well, he could have started then. I said, I know that. But you didn't tell us you needed a bid. Or you'd have found out that he was already working with a bid. So it's important to know, too, that you understand that HUD is not providing a one-year warranty. Your contractor is supposed to provide a one-year warranty on all parts and labor, on everything they're doing. Now, if you want a guarantee, it's actually a warranty, but I've heard of this company, 2-10. I think it's 2-10.com, but it might be 2-10warranty.com, who, if you register your scope of work with them and pay them a fee, and it's not exorbitant, it's not high, then they will warrant your project for 2 full years. And if your contractor has gone out of business and you're trying to get something fixed that was under warranty, they will send a contractor out of their choice and fix whatever went bad. Parts and labor, everything. It's quite an interesting concept. 2-10 Warranty is their company name, but I think it's 2-10.com. Correct me if I'm wrong. Feel free to call in and let me know. Anyway, there's a whole bunch more. There's about, again, as many as I've read, more I understand. So just stay with that. I understand it. And we're going to take another short break. And be sure and call in if you want to talk on the show. 888-627-6008. We'll be right back after this short intermission.
Thinking of becoming a 203K consultant? Contact us to see if you qualify. Home inspectors, contractors, architects, and engineers most likely qualify. Create an additional profit center using your existing knowledge base. For more information, visit 203ksoftware.com, and you'll be glad you did.
Hey, welcome back. This is Mike Young. Love my renovation project. And as you know, we don't love every one of them. There are some that give you fits, but most of them go by without a hitch. Once in a while, you can find something that where somebody's tried to save a dollar and their consultant used the contractor's bid, turned out to be their uncle, and he bid half price on everything. And lo and behold, he realizes, I can't keep doing this. I got to go make some money. And the homeowner's sitting there without a viable bid. That is exactly why consultants are supposed to bid the project independently, upfront, ahead of time, and compare it to the contractor's bid when they come in. So if you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008, and we'll entertain your questions. Okay. Getting back to the paperwork that's supposed to be given to the homeowner prior to close and in time to read and understand it. The rehabilitation loan agreement. Now, we don't read each and every article in this rehab agreement, rehabilitation loan agreement, but we point out that right at the top in the middle of line one, the loan will be in the principal amount of X number of dollars. Now, when you go to close escrow, if you're using attorneys to do it, or if you're using a title company to close your escrow, you'll ask the escrow officer, what is my final mortgage amount? They'll tell you that number, and you write it in. We don't know it. We don't know all your costs and fees, so your consultant slash inspector cannot fill that in for you. Section 4 says it identifies all of the construction items, things that are going to be earning interest for you on the money you just borrowed from the bank. Now, the one I happen to be looking at right here has got the construction total amount that's earning interest for you is $50,924. So that's it. That money is earning interest for you and will go down as the money is used for construction, as it's paid out to the contractor. The lender is required to give you a reconciliation of that at the end of the process. But there's a lot of different things here, and it's a two-pager. Representatives of the lender on page 2, and the commissioner shall have the right to enter upon the property enter upon the property at all times during the period of construction and on completion of the construction to determine whether the work conforms to the agreement. So that's good. This is a two-pager. It's very easy to understand if you realize that it's there for your protection and the protection of HUD, who is just a insurance company, by the way, and the lender. In any case, another of the agreements is a homeowner contractor agreement. We use this one that was created by HUD, and it will have the total amount of the construction bid shows up in this particular one, the contractor sum of $41,593. Notice that it's a lot different than that $50,000 bid that we read on the other paper. The other paper is all the money that's being held and you're getting interest paid to you, which offsets some of the interest you're paying for it. But on the contractor's agreement, his bid is only his bid. It does not include the contingency reserve or any other costs and fees, the draw inspection fees and other fees that are related to the construction but are not related to the contractor's fees. Okay. Then I always found it interesting that they signed at the top of page one of this two-page agreement. And one of the next provisions of this homeowner contractor agreement are the owner's responsibilities. Effectively, stay out of their way. If you've got a project and it's starting, and you know that they're going to be painting the interior of the home and putting in new floor coverings, the last thing we want you to do is to bring all your furniture and everything and stack it in the living room or anywhere else. I had a party that just couldn't wait till the roof was on, so they brought all their stuff and put it in the garage. And, well, there's no work going to be done in the garage. And I said, I beg your pardon. We have to replace the water heater. Oh, well, that's over there on the other side of the room. I said, what about the roof? Well, when they put the roof on, tar dripped through open places in the roof and got all over their goods. Of course, they had a lawsuit. The contractor's insurance covered it, but it's still a pain. It's a negative that you don't need. So don't bring your stuff in and stack it anywhere in the house or in the garage until your project is finished. It's pretty simple. It also has your duties of your contractor. The contractor will supervise and direct the work. Whoa, it will. Contractor is already agreeing that he'll be there. The work will begin within 30 days of the loan closing, and that's evidenced by a draw inspection. So he not only has to start within 30 days, he has to have his first draw within 30 days. I've got four or five right now that are sitting on 60 days. But the lender didn't tell us they closed. I just happened to call in and say, hey, when is this loan going to close? Oh, that closed. I said, what date? Oh, 60 days ago. You know, if I'd have known, I'd have been pushing for that first draw by now. But these people do anything. From time to time, contractor will try to get the whole job done. Homeowner will get the whole job done. We had one in Los Angeles where the homeowner sent a bunch of pictures to the consultant or to the lender directly and said, I need a draw payment for all this stuff. Here's the pictures. And they said, well, call your consultant and have inspect it. And the guy said, no, I don't want to pay him a fee. He's going to charge me to come out here and look at the house. Said, that's the way the system works, sir. Call him, get him out there. So the contractor in this particular one that I'm holding in my very good little hands here, says the work will begin within 30 days of the closing of the escrow with the lender and completed within 5 months. Well, we had one the other day that was had a three-month. It was a very small project, but contractor happened to call in, check with the draw coordinator how they found out who that was. Beyond me, but they did. And they said, well, All right, so we can start this thing anytime now. They said, yes, and you must be finished within 6 months. Well, the guideline says that every project is supposed to be finished within 6 months. So the draw coordinator saying that may be true, but we only gave 3 months because this is a very small project. It's only $40,000. If it takes them more than 3 months, they're not going to make any money on this, at least no profit and overhead. So that loose lip sunk that ship. The guy decided, I got 6 months. He came in, took a toilet out of the hall bathroom upstairs, and then he left, disappeared. A month later, the homeowner calls me and says, he hasn't been out here since day one. He came out, took the toilet out, is sitting in the hall upstairs, he hasn't been back. So as a courtesy, not as a deal, as a job, I contacted the contractor and I said, what's going on? He said, well, the lender told me I had up to 6 months. I can knock this out in 30 days, so I'll see you in 5 months. He was just going to let that house set for 5 months, all because the lender's draw person let it slip that he had up to 6 months, according to the guideline. Well, that's up to 6 months. The consultant decides how long it's going to take to do this job. Extensions have to be taken out if we don't comply and get done with what we thought we could do. Contractors' jobs, the contractor's the one that coordinates everything. Homeowner only has a deal with the contractor. If the job isn't getting done, contact the contractor. Push them. You got to keep it going. It also has a section on subcontractors. This is very important to know. Subcontractor gets out there. The contractor said, hey, I'm going to pay you as soon as you get done. Great. He does it. The contractor is not on the job. Homeowner's wife is, or the homeowner is. And this guy says, well, I finished with the job. And they said I'd get paid right now, so it must be getting paid by her. So he goes over and starts screaming and yelling. He needs his money from the homeowner. Or worse, the homeowner's spouse, who is not an aggressive person. But we tell them, everybody up front, if that happens, keep us on speed dial. Call us, say, Mr. Young, this party is demanding their money right this minute. Contractor's not here. And hand the phone over to them or put me on the speaker. And we'll get them straightened out pretty quick. So it's crucial, though, that you understand that the subcontractors work for the general contractor. They don't work for the homeowner. And on page 2, there's a clause 6, binding arbitration. If for some reason you can't do anything else, and it looks like this thing has to go to court, or it goes to arbitration first. Okay, not to court. We don't go to court. We go to arbitration. We have one right now somewhere on the East Coast. Client called me on 203K911. They haven't done anything wrong. The contractor did substandard work. He's demanding to be paid. Lender says, run over there and go to arbitration. Homeowner says, no. The consultant said the work is substandard. He's not going to pay him. I'm not going to pay him. And you guys shouldn't pay him. He's doing substandard work. That doesn't require arbitration. I have to tend to agree with the homeowner and the consultant. They both say that the guy's doing poor work and it shouldn't be paid for. In any case, if you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008. Toll free and be part of this show. We're going to take our final break of the day and be right back.
We know which lenders are all talk and which ones can actually close your loans faster. You can depend on our consultants for the facts before you choose a lender. There are many lenders who will tell you they need 60 to 90 days to close a renovation loan. Those aren't the ones to choose. A 203K can close as fast as a 203B, unless the lender is trying to play all the possible positions on the field. The 203K is a team sport, and you should have the team members that know what to do. If your LO is constantly calling the consultant to see how is it going, you may want to reevaluate that member. Each member has a job. Let them perform their part while you perform yours. The countdown doesn't start until the lender gets your financial information. Visit 203K911.com. We know what to do.
Hey, welcome back. If you want to be part of the show, call us at 888-627-6008, and we'd be happy to entertain your questions. Now, the last paper that we give to the client at a consultation is called the Consultant's Identity of Interest, and also on the same page is the Borrower's Identity of Interest. On the Consultant's Identity of Interest, the consultant slash inspector hereby certifies that they have carefully inspected the property. That means they had to see it. You can't see the property by sending someone else out there to look at it. Okay. If that someone else is going out looking at the property and writing this up, it's fine as long as they're the consultant. But not if Bill Jones is the consultant and Bill Jones sends Mary Jones out, take the pictures, write the report, comes back, and he puts his name on it. That's fraud. So don't do that. Don't let your consultant do that. The person that writes it up should be the consultant with a consultant number approved by HUD. The inspector is going to be sure the property is in compliance and generally acceptability requirements, including health and safety. They have required the necessary architectural exhibits. Now, let's talk about architectural exhibits a little bit. We have one right now, which is a basement build-out. So we've got a full height, ceiling height basement. We're going to be adding some walls in there, a couple of bedrooms. Those bedrooms all have to comply with current standards. The bedrooms upstairs, because of the size of the project, have to all comply with egress standards and so forth. But the consultant, his identity of interest just says that he's not part of this transaction. Okay, he's not the applicant. He's not going to get any proceeds from the mortgage. Nobody's paying him for any of other than as a consultant. They're not paying him to look the other way and so forth. And he's going to do everything according to the HUD requirements prescribed by the Rehabilitation Mortgage Insurance. Now, the other half of this is a borrower's identity of interest. Let me read that to you here. I hereby certify to the Department of Housing and Urban Development / HUD and the lender that I or we do not have an identity of interest with the seller of this property. So the borrower is saying, hey, I don't have any relationship to the seller. So when a family inherits a property from grandpa and grandma who have recently passed away, and one of the borrowers is going to buy out the rest of the borrowers, that needs to be fully disclosed because, in fact, they are buying it from themselves in a way. Okay, so be careful. Make sure you're all above board. It also says that you're not the realtor or the lender or any other party of the transaction. You're not the contractor. You're not the consultant. And you're not the appraiser. You also certify that I'm not obtaining any source of funds or acting as a straw buyer for another individual, partnership, company or investment club, and that I or we will occupy the residence we are purchasing or refinancing. Now, that's big. So you're not part of the transaction. Not too long ago, we had a realtor who was buying the property and going to use the 203K, and I was all excited. And I said, I want you to read this carefully, because it says here, you're swearing when you sign this that you're not the realtor. Oh, well, I am the realtor. Yeah, I know. That's why I'm telling you that you have a problem with the identity of interest. You need to fully disclose that so everybody knows, in fact, that you are the realtor and that you're using your commission as your down payment or part of your down payment. And he, you know, I just told the lender that I'm not in on that signing of the paperwork, so we can't follow that through, but we do tell the lender so that they're sure that it gets taken care of properly. In any case, you shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't have a conflict of interest. I had another realtor tell me that she had somebody else in her office that was going to act as the realtor and that she was just the borrower. And that's fine, provided she's not getting any of those funds, any of that commission. So, anyway, that's kind of where we are. And that's all the paperwork that we share with the clients at the time of the inspection and as part of our consultation. So have we got anybody in the wing? I don't think so right at the moment. So let's go on to the next. We were happy this week. We got a call from an old friend, placed an order with us. We hadn't heard from him in quite a while. Wells Fargo had gotten out of the renovation projects or renovation lending. And we got a call from what used to be their number one loan officer and got a nice order there. We appreciate that. A lot of these people have gone to other banks and so forth. Some of them went to the same bank, which is all very interesting. What else can we see here? Okay. If we're talking about the draw form, when the loan closes, actually, and the contractor does some work, is ready for a draw inspection, he calls us up and we go out there. We usually send the draw paperwork ahead of time. Now, you have a scope of work documents, which is about, anywhere between 3 and 5 pages, usually, of work items. This particular project I'm holding in my hand is a $136,000 project, and there are 5 pages of the scope of work. So the scope of work is the detail, though. What is it going to be? The draw form has that same list of 35 key items, but on the draw paperwork, those key items are abbreviated. It's just the amount. So it tells you, in the case of masonry, this job had $16,620 available. The detail would be on the scope of work document, or the job specifications, and it tells you it's actually broken into 2 different seconds, but 2 sections. So anyway, the contractor will fill out column 3, and then when the inspector gets out there, he'll look at only those items that are filled out in column 3 that are being requested. So anyway, that'll be about it for today. We do appreciate that you called in. Next week, we're going to be at my grandson's wedding. Actually, it's my spouse's grandson, but we share him. And we'll be a taped show on 203K as a team sport. We hope you'll join us, and we'll be back live the first Sunday in June. This is taking off very fast. So we look forward to you being with us then, and enjoy the show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Tune in every Sunday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time to BBS Radio Station 1 and learn more about making home renovations possible, profitable, and hassle-free. Isn't it time you learned how to make money doing something you loved? Visit 203konline.com now and let's get your home makeover projects done right.